Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you know that God loves you? More than loves you, God delights in you. God rejoices in your life and in your learnings. God laughs with your joy, and God cries with your tears. God claims you as God's own child, and nothing that you do or do not do will change how God feels about you or how God treats you, because God loves you. God delights in you. You are God's beloved child. So, what's up with these commandments then? Aren't they rules that we're supposed to follow? I mean, isn't God the judge and lawgiver? Isn't it necessary to be and do good? Or at least to follow these two commandments that Jesus mentions? Well, yeah, sort of. But not to make God love you or not. Not because you somehow will be saved if you do these things or loved more if you do these things. No, you are completely free from needing to do good because God has already loved you into life. But, well, to quote Luther, a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. So that probably makes very little sense. So I'm going to try to share with you a story that I read this week about exactly these texts and this problem. The story comes from David Loos, who tells a story about his friend, Frank. Now, when Frank was 9, he got into a fight with his younger sister. Apparently that arguing gradually turned into pushing and shoving, and well, then the pushing and shoving rapidly degraded into all-out hitting. And just as Frank had his sister pinned to the ground, fist raised in the air, his mom came into the room. "Franklin, stop that," she yelled. At that, Frank turned to his mom and said, "Well, she's my sister and I can do anything I want to her." At which point, Frank's mother swooped across the room, towered over him and said, "She's my daughter. No, you can't." And that's the law. The commandments, the will of God for us. It's not that Frank's mom loved him less when she gave him that command. It's not that Frank could ever stop being his mother's son. It's not that Frank, even if he had continued to hit his sister, would have been kicked out of the house. But Franklin really needed to follow that commandment for his own good, for his sister's good. See, God's will, desire, dream, expressed in the whole law and the prophets, from Genesis to Leviticus to Jesus to Revelation to beyond, God's dream and prophetic cry is that all of God's children flourish. That is, all God's creation flourish. And God's law is that parent standing there saying, "She's my daughter. No, you can't. This is my creation. You cannot do anything you want to with it because it is worth too much. Because you are worth too much." you know, we don't really like that voice. We don't like being told that we can't, or that what we claim to be ours isn't. And in fact, we don't listen to that voice very well either. We go on hitting our sister pinned to the ground. We go on using and misusing God's creation as though it were our own. We go on ignoring our neighbor and loving ourselves, our selfish selves, rather than the God who made us to love so much more. And even when we try our absolute hardest to love and listen to God's voice calling us to what God created us to be, God's very children, born of God's love and passion and justice, we have a tendency to fail. No, we do fail. But here's the good news. That into our brokenness, into our inability to love enough, God sent love incarnate. God poured and pours God's love out on our selfishness, on our sinfulness, on our turned-inness. God pours out God's love so that we might accidentally look into the eyes of our neighbor and see God looking back at us, loving us into action, loving us into justice, loving us into love. Amen.